This is CliffCentral.com.
So Jack Hayford, who's an American author and minister, he once said the following words. He said, "Worship changes the worshiper into the image of the one worshipped." I thought that was really just such a beautiful quote, you know, just to know that when we worship God, it changes us into his image. But I guess, you know, in one way or the other, the same can sort of be said for worshiping other things. I mean, so my suggestion to you is let God be the center of your worship and you will see a radical change in your life. And when you worship God, you need to know that your worship is not in vain and that it is more a gift to us than it is to God, because it changes us for the better, but it doesn't change God for the better, because he never changes. He is the ultimate, his ultimate perfection. But yeah, I'm not alone today. I'm with some young people who are doing wonders for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. One I have just come to know, and the other, although younger than the other one, I guess, I've known her for a little while longer. Rorisang Tandegiso is with us. So Rorisang is going to be chatting to us about an exciting show that is on. It actually started on the 7th of April on One Gospel, and it's called Jam Sessions. And now, actually, just the other day, I was actually watching One Gospel, and the promo came on for Jam Sessions. And guess who was the guest on the show? It is my next guest. You know, I believe that he is like this guy. It's that sort of flavor that you know is going to be there forever. The sort of flavor that you like marry. Yes. You know what I mean? Yes. It's like you know that this one is not going to run out of steam anytime soon. It's new. It's fresh. It's what everybody loves right now. I mean, he's getting booked all over the place. But let me not leave you guessing and wondering who this is. But guess who it is? My other guest today is the one and only Dr. Dumi. Dr. Dumi, a warm welcome to you, man.
I feel I've been made to be old.
Well, you know what? I was reading an article in 2012. Because apparently, you know, like you're actually quite, you know, you are into music then already.
Yeah, not
that. And and they said, you know, like they said that I think at that time you were 30. So I kind of figured, you know, Rorisang has just come from being a child star. Mm. So I'd be surprised if she's like already 30. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So so that's why I mean, like I said in the beginning as well, that we are all young.
Come on.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And that, like, you know, I've got some young guests. So welcome to you guys.
Thank you very much for having me, man.
So yeah, so I'll be chatting to them both after the break on this special episode. This one for me is really special, of the open book. And we don't need a theme for today. I mean, when you've got such powerful, you know, such powerful people in here, you don't need a theme, because there's no theme that can be really higher than them, unless the theme is Jesus, which is always the theme on the open book. Mm-hmm. So we'll just call it Rory and Dumi.
Okay.
I so, like
that. Rory and Dumi.
Especially because the Rory comes first, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's also because it's ladies first.
I just thought, okay, cool.
Okay. So we'll have them after the break. So stick with us as I speak to Rory and Dumi right here on the open book, Cliff Central.
Yeah, man. Yeah. When you're fine, a girl, man. Real girl, cherish her, man. Real thing, man.
When this body lock me up and send me do wrong, she never turn her back for me. That's why me love me woman. Me love her, me love her, me love her. Virtuous woman.
Now, she has been on the open book before, speaking to us on a theme called Let's Talk About Sex. It was quite a hot theme. So make sure that you get that on the Cliff Central app under the open book. But she's also the lead singer of a very famous pop funk band. That's what I get when I listen. I don't know what you guys...
Is. Yeah, well, we call it New Soul Groove.
New Soul Groove.
But I guess it's new pop.
Yeah.
Soul Groove, funk. That's yeah.
You're trying to make me feel.
No, I'm just telling you what we've termed it. New Soul Groove didn't exist.
Yeah.
So we've now called it New Soul Groove because everybody keeps asking us, you know, what category or what genre we... And it's just like, yo, man, that's really difficult to, like,
just
nail
tell
it
them,
down.
Just tell them, just dance.
Dance, actually.
Just dance, please.
Just groove to it. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So she's also a TV producer, but today she's here in her capacity as probably the one thing that I've known her to be for a really, really long time, and that is a TV presenter.
Yes.
So, and that's true, right?
Definitely. It is. I'm having... Okay, there you go. I'm settled now.
Are you settled now?
I am settled. The mic was showing me flames. Yes, TV. Kid Star. It sounds weird when you say it yourself, but that's pretty much what we termed.
Okay.
I pretty much grew up on TV. Yeah, I got to know myself in front of the camera.
So where did, I mean, like, so like, where did all these other talents come into fold? Like, when did you know that you could sing? And yeah, and everything else, maybe bring a producer as well of a TV show.
I'm so blessed, and I really thank God for positioning me the way he did. When I started with children's television, when I started with YoTV, it was just that. And how I got into producing is the one day I was like, oh man, this show, the topic was so dope, but like the approach was whack. You know, and I was just saying it like as a, you know, like, yeah, like I could have done better.
Okay.
And I think I wasn't.
And
really
that's another station, right? Is it just some other?
No. It was for the show I was presenting.
Oh, okay.
So I was saying it, but we were cool with the producer. I was like, hey, today's show, like, we had such a nice topic, but like the guests, and you know when you find everything wrong with it.
Yeah.
And Lolly Gibson, who was then the commissioning editor for children's television for SABC, was in the room.
Yeah.
And I didn't see her. I didn't actually know who she was. I just thought it's the blonde lady who comes twice a week around the offices, and she's like, oh, okay, so you can do a better job.
The accountant or something.
And she's like, when's your birthday? And I'm like, my birthday's on the 9th of August, you know, being my normal self.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, good, then you've got 4 episodes to produce.
Wow.
For your birthday month.
Wow, that's
yeah.
Awesome.
And that's basically how it started. So I just started with the 4 episodes, and that became my life, and I got extra pay. I was like, what? Yes, I can do this. She was just easy for the first 4 episodes, and then she treated me like every other producer. She would take my scripts and scribble all over them in the red pen and say, do it again, and say, I don't like that guest. So I started really getting into it. And Blue Couch, which is a child's talk show, is a difficult show to do in itself because you have to talk about sex to a 12-year-old. You have to talk about divorce and bipolar. Mm. So I really got into TV from a producing side the hard way.
Yeah.
Because I had to already learn that just because it's a topic and it's interesting, you're speaking to different audiences. And the music, I was already on your TV. I posted a picture of myself with a guitar, not that I can play.
Mm-hmm.
Vic, who's one of the band members, assumed I can sing, and they asked me to meet them outside Auckland Park because they were studying there, and they wanted me to be a brand ambassador for this movement they were starting called Musart,
yeah,
which was about music and art. So and they had an opportunity to do something with Hype magazine, and Hype magazine back then was like hype. If you were in Hype magazine, you were the guy, you know. And they're like, yo, let's do a song. I was like, I can't sing. They're like, yeah, it's like sing talking type of thing. I was like, okay, nobody's gonna know it's me. If it's whack, it probably won't make it to Hype.
Mm-hmm.
And we did Jukebox that day. I remember I had a live show, so I had to quickly drive to Leondale.
Mm-hmm.
And I took one of the guy presenters because I was like, what if these guys are gonna like kidnap me or something? I was like, yeah, just get there, look tough, Katla, like don't smile, just stand there, be like, yeah, record the song and go. And we got there, we just had the time of our lives, rushed back, did a live show like nothing happened, and about 3 months later the song was on radio and people were asking for more. Then people were like, please write a song for my wedding. That was long time, which is also one of our singles. And then somebody was like, they want a song for some ad thing. We believed and fell for it. We did Party After. And actually, those
three songs. Which is actually
my
favorite.
Exactly. Those three songs have gone on to be probably our biggest songs. And of course, Oh Yeah. And we did the album in 2 weeks.
Wow, that's awesome. I actually came across some documents.
Yeah.
From I don't know how that got into my emails, but suddenly there's like a thread of emails between Musart and Soul Candy, the record label.
Yes.
I'm going to show you those after.
Are you for real?
Okay. Maybe I shouldn't
maybe
have
not.
Said that.
Some intelligence.
Maybe I okay, cool. So now you're producing shows. I mean, like, you're producing shows for One Gospel.
Yeah.
I did a show called In Concert With.
Yes.
Where you were the producer.
Yeah.
And you know, so One Gospel has really sort of become the flagship and only 24/7 gospel station.
Yeah.
In on TV.
Yeah.
In South Africa.
Yeah.
How did the move happen that you started to produce shows for them?
So when I left OTV, I was bouncing around in the African continent doing a lot of content that side. And I think that's where my love for Christian content came in place. Because like, if you go to places like Nigeria, you go to Ghana, there's a really strong sense of Christian content. Whereas in South Africa, if it's not one gospel, you don't really see it anywhere else. So I got exposed to that, met a lot of people. And it was just a conversation like, yo, man, it would be so cool to work at this space. And I had initially auditioned to be a presenter. And I think a lot of people, once you're on screen, the assumption is that's what you do.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, so in the conversation, I was like, yeah, no, I also produce. I do. It's like, oh, you're a producer, as in like a show. It's like, yeah, producer.
Yeah.
I've been doing that for the past 4 or 5 years. And they're like, oh, really? And that's where the conversation started. And for me, that was just like God answering. You know, when God says, when the Bible says that God knows the desires of your heart, I love broadcasting. I love TV. And
you love God.
It sounds very corny, but it's true. To come into a space where my job is to present the gospel in a cool way that people can listen and digest, and in a way that competes. I think a lot of times, you know, I mean, there's a movie that's out now, War Room, and everything.
War Room, yeah. I've got the DVD
as well.
Yeah,
and I need to watch it.
You do. Get on the wagon.
You can come to my place, man.
Watch, man.
And I've never been invited. It's fine.
I
suggested it to a friend of mine that I know is going through stuff, and I was like, this would be such. She's like, oh, I hate Christian movies. They're so whack. Yeah, and I was just like, that breaks my heart that you know, within Christian content, if I could put it like that, whether it's music or movies or videos, there's an assumption that it's whack. There's an assumption that it's not of high quality. And to be in a space where I can make content and make it look cool and make in concert with be just like any other music show that you'll find on television, make shows like Jam Sessions, something that Circular Artists want. I think I've got two artists in the Circular. It's like, yeah, no, we want to come to Jam Sessions. I was like, ah, since when? It's like, yeah, yo, I like that show. I saw the clip on Instagram. It's so nice. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. But that's what we should be aiming for. We should be aiming to make real television that is competing at a standard. And I mean, if we're Christians, we should be, in any case, gunning for excellence.
Absolutely.
But somehow with Christian content, that hasn't been the norm for a number of years.
Yeah. And you know what? And having been on In Concert With, and I actually, the things that I couldn't watch, I made sure that I PVR'd them.
Yeah.
Just all the other concerts and really just what a cool concept.
Yeah.
That was, I know that it had been changed over time. Yeah. It was still In Concert With.
Yeah.
But just that this time around, it was just fresher.
Yeah. Little things, nuances.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm not
why?
Throwing any shade, you know, to the previous producers. But you were in 2013 and now in 2016 and yours was
come
perfect
on now.
For then.
Come now.
This one was perfect for now. So watching Jam Sessions, I was one of those people who are like, yo, can I be on that show?
Oh, were you?
It's a nice show.
Because it really looks cool. Every Thursday, 7 o'clock, Jam Sessions. It started on the 7th of April.
Yes.
And it's going to go on for a little while longer.
They've got us for about a couple of more months. Maybe three months, if I'm not incorrect.
Maybe three months more. But you can't miss it, because this Thursday, tonight, you've got to watch at 6:30.
At 7. Tomorrow at 11. And then Saturday at 2.
At 2.
Yes.
So tell us about Jam Session. I mean, like, you know, what's the concept
behind
it? I
mean, it's just only like the coolest show. I don't know what you want me to say. Jam Session is, Sessions, rather, is basically a space where we invite artists and we get to see them for who they are. Another thing that I probably had beef with with the, again, coming to Christian content, is how Christians portray themselves. You know, like if I look at you and you know, you're rocking a sweater, you cool, it's a Thursday, you know, but if you're coming to One Gospel, kicking boboza, tie suited, you know, then you got the church look, like it's Sunday morning, they said today we're wearing,
it's called the Mzalwana look.
You understand what I mean? And there's nothing wrong with that look. It's beautiful. I love the fact that as Christians, you know, we put an effort in how we look when we go to the house of the Lord. But it's like, if I get to see Dumi for who he is, that he looks like me, he sounds like me, he doesn't have this tone when he speaks, and every second word is, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
I think we've presented Christ in such a difficult way where people can't see themselves in this kingdom. because we're too far-fetched or we're too, you know what I mean?
And that's the thing, you know, the thing is it's either so high that people feel like they can't reach it or it's presented in a way that's so low that people are like, listen, I've come this far.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go down there. Mm.
Yeah.
You understand?
I think there's been a shift. My mom likes to say back in the days when you were a pastor, you were poor. And nowadays, when you're a pastor, you kind of balling, you know? And she's like, so Christianity has kind of changed where back then, if you're a Christian, you were seen as, you know, the struggling people. Now we're the cool people, but we, you know, I don't know how we present Christ. So I think Jam Session, I was intentional about, you'll see when you get an email to be a guest, I tell you, swag. Like, come with your swag, whatever swag is. So if I was to bump into you in Bromfontein at the market, would you be wearing a 3-piece suit? No. So don't do that on Jam Sessions. I really just want
unless you would be wearing a 3-piece suit.
Unless that's your swag. I mean. Yeah, unless that's your swag.
Like, have you seen sometimes, like, when they say, yeah, no, so there's youth night, and our senior pastor is going to come and preach. And then you're sitting there, and you're like, what's pastor wearing? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's okay. Come in your suit if that's what you wear the whole time,
no,
you know?
Definitely.
But we don't want those makrim. Don't come now trying to be all swag.
Yeah, no. And then it looks awkward. No.
It looks awkward.
I think the intention was for people to get to know the real person, to chill out, hang, have a conversation, and really just enjoy getting to know them without too many distractions. And also, I mean, Jimmy will tell you,
it was quite nice. Very
and those are nice, there's a nice live element to it as well, because it is a music station.
It's a music, you know?
And that's what I love, you know, and that's what I really, really love. The fact that, like, even in those, you know, like, even in those talk shows, like, what's the other one again that the other girl?
More Than a Song?
Yeah, like, even in More Than a Song, like, you still find songs and you still find music. And I did a show as well once on One Gospel called, you know, Call to Worship.
Yeah.
And even in that, there was an element of music. And
yeah.
that's the wonderful thing, because it feels like a reality show because people are just being so real.
Yeah.
But you still get the music, you still get the element. And what I really loved as well, if I can say so myself, is the fact that it's just all stripped down, man.
Yo, it doesn't get better.
I think
than
I need
that.
A show as well.
You need a show as well.
I think so. It's about time.
I got my bosses behind me. Maybe
sending the word out there. So.
My bosses are behind
and you must
me.
Call it. You mustn't call it to me. You must call it to him.
To him. That's dope. But I think the live element is a beautiful element.
Yeah.
Actually, I think you just gave me a title for the next
song.
Oh,
yeah.
To him.
I was part of this discussion.
To me, singing yeah, no,
can
to
I
him.
Produce the
okay,
show?
Cool. No. Okay, cool.
You'll musically direct. We've got a team here. We just need to go pitch this.
You know?
Yeah. I think another thing that I was also deliberate in terms of from a producing point of view is to get people's testimonies and their journey. Because I think sometimes, you know, when Dumi's talking about love and grace and you don't know his real story, you don't know, you know, how he got to the place where he is, you can't put it in context. You know, we had Micah Stampley from the States come through. And I was
he was on the show as well?
He was on the show. It was actually our first episode, which was really cool because he was just in town at the right time. And I was like, I can't miss this opportunity. And I asked him about Our God, which was written by Chris originally. We don't know.
Chris who?
Tomlin.
Oh, Chris Tomlin.
Chris Tomlin.
Oh, Chris.
I'm trying to say we're on a face name basis, guys.
Yeah.
And I was asking him about, you know, why he chose Our God. It's such a big song that everybody's sort of doing some sort of rendition of it.
Yeah.
And he was like, he was messing around in studio and he recorded the song and his daughter was, you know, taken to ICU. She was having fits and all sorts of things. And the wife just put the songs on her phone, put headsets on, and that's all she was hearing, and it was a miracle. Like, at the end of the day, discharged, fine, okay, until today. And I was like, now when I watched him perform Our God,
it is a different it wasn't that
anthem-y song that we all like and we like to hear church. It was like, yo, this is a real story that is connected to the song. And now I want to connect with the song at another level than just it's that song that we all know we sing. And I think that's what I was trying to create, that let's understand where the songs come from. You know, when Dumi says forgiven. Yeah. What's his testimony? What's his story?
I've actually got a song on my upcoming album called He Loves Us, you know, and it's a very well-known song by Mark McMillan.
Yeah.
He loves us.
Oh.
Oh, how he loves. I want to sing too long, you know, because Dr. Tumi is in the house.
King of the raves, y'all.
And you know, and that's a song that it was always sung at church. And I used to hear it all the time. I used to be like, oh, there goes that song again. Mm. But the one day, it's like I just felt a touch, man. Mm. And I just felt a hug from God. Yeah. And since then, that song has really become one of my favorite songs. And so I have a different story to it, you know. Yeah. And I believe that sometimes like one song that you think is just so simple, it's ministering to someone for the situation at that, you know, like at that moment. Yeah. And these songs have got to have ministered to us.
Yeah. You know? Before you can even.
You know what
that's
I mean?
Somebody if it isn't.
Whoa. Oh. Mm. I think that's our subject, the songs. Okay, no, let's leave it. It's still Tumi and Rory.
Rory and Tumi, sorry, correction.
Rory and Tumi.
Thank you.
Okay, my bad,
Thank you.
The other, I mean, like, you know, just the other question I wanted to ask is, because you mentioned Micah Snapley being your first guest.
Yeah.
What other guests should we be looking forward to?
Oh, wow. You've got a pool, hey? So you can look out for your Mahalias. You can look out for your Kaim Tetwas.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what I wanted to explore was people that people don't know.
Yeah.
There's a guy called ID. Man, ID.
ID. Spelled I? D.
D. E. E.
Okay.
Yeah.
Serious, huh?
Like, he's, wow. Like amazing. He came
how
through.
How did you? I mean, like, how did you find him? How did
so
you
I'm like
that?
Talking because I always talk to people. I always and actually guests don't even know that I do this. Now they're gonna know that I actually do this. So I ask them, who are they looking out for? You know. So the minute you give me the name, I'm gonna go hunt and look for that person.
Because
what I found is musicians, you don't co-sign anything that doesn't move you, and you don't really feel has real potential. And I think what has happened in the gospel industry in South Africa is it's very closed. You know, it's for those that we've seen and are tested, and everybody else, back off, you know. Like, I'll give you a typical example about Dr. Tumi. He's talented. He's really, really good at what he does. But I'm sure you'll have to work slightly twice as hard as compared to somebody whose name is out there.
Yeah.
Not because you're not as good, but it's just like, oh, Obinang. Binang Giffing. And you're like, oh, man, you can't associate a song with him, you know. And I want to find those musicians. ID, I think you told me about a guy called Karabo.
Oh, he's amazing. Man.
There's another guy that.
Not Idol's Karabo, another Karabo.
No, another Karabo.
So Karabos can sing.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm going to name my next child Karabo.
Karabo,
So they can also get that singing
Come
thing.
Come on now.
There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of artists. There's a young guy that I found in Cape Town.
Yeah.
His name is Lux Kent.
It's amazing.
He's a beautiful writer. Like he does hip hop, but it's not like, yo, bob your heads. Yeah. You're forced to listen to him. I call him a conscious rapper.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, like you know, if you listen to Kendrick, you have to listen. It's not like.
And this is all, this is all like gospel. This is all gospel stuff.
That people don't even know about them. Wow. And I'm kind of looking for them because I think it's easy for us to lean over and be like, oh, we just want ratings. But it's also, I think One Gospel is that platform that we can break artists. That's powerful as a brand to give an artist a platform and then look at their lives the next 2 years and go, we're a part of
changed,
that.
Man.
Yeah.
Like yeah.
And you know what?
Or two, it's just been amazing.
Yeah.
Just.
And I've got to say, because you know Dr. Tumi, I've actually known, I've only just gotten to know Dr. Tumi. I actually asked him, I said to him, when we met earlier, I was like, have I met you before? Just in case, just to cover my ground. You know what I mean? So the guy's not like, you know, this guy, I've seen him now suddenly.
He doesn't even know me.
He's acting like he doesn't know me. You know? So I've learned. Yeah. I've learned. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm like, have I met you before? And he says, yeah, we met. I'm like, wait. He says, no, we're doing, we're doing another TV show, Gospel Classics. I'm like, oh, yeah. I lied.
I didn't remember.
It's a polite thing to say.
No, but I do kind of remember. But I mean, the thing is also just kind of reading about you. You've been around for
quite a while.
For quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a while. It's been a journey. And I think what happens is you can be so long in the background. And people don't know you, and you're doing so much already.
Yeah.
Writing for people. You're doing stuff and. You can be a surprise later in life, and people think you just came through. And I get that a lot. Where were you all this time? And,
but you know what that says? That also says that as artists, we must never ever think that everybody knows us.
No.
Because you get to a moment when you're really big, you know?
Yeah.
And you must never know. You can't.
No.
You can't ever think. You need to keep on, you need to keep on marketing yourself. You need to keep on bringing yourself out there.
We were at his, his album launch this past Sunday. And... Because because I felt like I know him.
Yeah. You were emceeing.
I was emceeing at the event.
Mm-hmm. She did an amazing job, by the way.
Oh, he's 40 kind. Yeah.
I've only got an hour. About. Thank you. You guys can do this after.
You can do
the
this
show.
Outside.
Yeah.
And you know what offended me to a certain degree?
Yeah.
I was so shocked at how many people know his music. Like, I was sitting behind
you
these people.
You won't. Just last night, oh. I had my TV, you know, like I had one gospel on,
yeah.
And your song came on, and my wife was like, "Baby, this guy really sings well." And Hannah Mitchell says,
"Say hi to your
you
wife.
Know, I think finally you've got some competition."
Like somebody to make it, yeah, no.
You know, and the song was called Nothing Without You.
Yeah,
what?
Man,
that's my jam.
Just what a song, man! I just want to just play it for just our listeners, and we're gonna chat to you.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Dr. Dumi, Nothing Without You.
Nothing without you. I'm nothing without you. You owe me that I breathe. Hosanna to Jehovah, you are the earth that I breathe. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and you I live and move and have my being. I'm nothing without you. Without you, you are the air that I breathe. Can live without you. Can live without you. And you I live and move and have my being. We say Hosanna to Jehovah, you are the air that I breathe.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Dr. Dumi. He is with us here in studio in the open book. Just a little bit of information about who Dr. Dumi is. He was born in Sishekha.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The home of Julius, yep. Malema. That's, you know.
Are you related?
No.
Are you?
No, but
maybe same grandmother, not necessarily the same. Okay, because the grand is pretty famous too, you
the
know.
The grand is famous.
and if it wasn't, you know, if it wasn't for Julius Malema, I wouldn't have mentioned that you're born in Sishekha.
Yeah.
I would have been like, he's just from
Mpopo. He made it very popular,
you know.
Yeah.
And you were an actual doctor. After finishing his studies in 2006, he entered the public health sector and worked as a medical doctor.
Yeah.
So you're not one of those guys who call themselves, you know, Dr. Dumi, because
no,
you're like,
it's not a stage name.
It's not a stage name, like, yeah. Well, or a
yeah,
field
Dumi,
name,
AKA
or like
Dr.
a field
Dumi.
Name like Dr. Kumalo.
No.
You're like for reals a doctor.
Yeah. No. I've got papers. Yeah. So.
Wow, man. How was that?
Interesting. It's an interesting journey to even have chosen that, you know.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to be a doctor, and I've always wanted to sing. So it was difficult. It was difficult for me to decide. But I think the nice thing was I could always do music, even if I'm a doctor. But if I didn't study to become a doctor, I wouldn't be able to do it, even if I did music. So.
Are you just cheapening music now?
Oh, man. No.
Like now anybody can just become
no.
a musician.
Not even.
Yeah.
But yeah, so interesting journey. So did that, and I've been working a couple of years now, and I'm in private practice as well. So
do you still practice as a doctor?
I do.
Oh my word, you're gonna get so many patients. Some are not even sick. They'll just be like, Dr. Dumi,
you have a CD here.
I get a lot of people asking me, where is your practice? Like, inbox. I wanna come and consult. I'm thinking, you're too far. But yeah, but it's been a nice journey to see people appreciate both. You know,
yeah, bro, and it's amazing because you really can have two passions.
Yeah.
You got three. You know, you produce, you present, and you sing.
Yeah.
And you do a lot of other stuff as well, by the way. Mm. Just two.
She does a whole lot of... Mm. I told you, I've only got 30 minutes here.
We'll do this outside.
And tell me, I mean, like, you know, I read an article, the article that I read in 2012, it said that your patients, they don't... Well, at that time, they didn't know that you were a doctor. And you try to keep that away from them.
Yeah,
so how do they... How do they relate to you now?
Now it's pretty interesting.
It's out now.
They come in and I saw you last night. That's all I hear.
Oh,
I saw you last night, and then the grown up mummies, and then they get all spiritual. Oh, you bless me, and they go.
Yeah,
we're happy, we're proud. But yeah, they know now, so I can't hide it anymore. So, but I'm not selling CDs at the practice. So it's just a nice experience for them to come and appreciate that part of me as well. But when I'm there, I do what I need to do there, basically. Yeah. I don't sing for no patient. even though they ask.
You know what? Although
I pray
you
for
could.
Them though,
you know. Oh, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, I do. I always
that's
pray
awesome.
For my patients. Even my PA knows she prays for patients. So it's a nice church.
It is. And you know what? And you know what? Also, it's going to save you on meds.
Yeah.
Because if they, you know, if they get healed right there and then.
Yeah.
Good.
And it happens. You know, one of the interesting things I've learned is you give medication a lot of times and you hope it works, even though, you know, according to the book, it's supposed to work. There are times it doesn't because the patient has resistance or they don't take it like they should, whatever reason. But you pray for them. And they pop one pill and they're sorted. And they come back and then...
Amen.
I mean, that's how my practice grew.
And you
one
know
miracle.
What? And no amount of medicine can fix the soul.
No. I mean, when I went, it was a strange place when I started off. And I just had one patient. When you start off, you're thinking, did I even take the right decision to go into private practice? Will people come? They don't know me. And I just had one patient. Interesting, very interesting patient who the whole community knows has a certain problem. It's very obvious to them. And I didn't know. I mean, he had been to specialists all over.
Wow.
I tried everything. I actually prayed for him, gave him meds that I know somebody else has given him a couple of times.
Yeah.
A week later, four days later, he came back and said, can you believe it? Like, even looking at him, you could see, oh, it's gone. And everybody, I mean, I had people driving from Hammanskraal, driving from... going to fetch their grannies from KZN to bring them to Kamsa.
Wow.
Amazing. But
no,
I knew
cool,
it was God.
And
like,
I think it's just so great the fact that, you know, you use everything that you do to glorify God and to minister to others. Because that is what worship is.
Yeah.
Sometimes we think that, you know, when I'm on stage and I'm leading people to worship, that's what I do. But the thing is, you know, the Bible says that in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and I'm going to paraphrase a bit, you know, it says that we need to use, it's in everything that we do, you know, that is true worship.
I actually think it's your life, your lifestyle, how you live your life, that's worship, you know, and I think in giving of ourselves, we're showing people who God is, and we're literally just giving him the praise and worshiping him. By serving others, because serving is a form of worship. I mean, even when you sing, you're actually serving.
Yeah.
So serving other people for me really is a beautiful space. Because
that's awesome, man. And now you're doing it, you know. And now you're doing it through. Now you're doing it through music.
Yeah.
And you know, gospel is a funny thing because the person that you are is going to show in your music, or at least your heart.
True. True.
Is going to show in that. And and I must say, you know, just during the times that I've been watching you and just checking your career through, I wasn't like, he really seems like a really great guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's a really, really cool guy to be. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I guess that's because...
I mean, he's a doctor.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you need to get that. You need to get
so
that doctor look.
Yeah.
That real doctor look.
Now, if you realize it's not your strength and all that, like, it just breaks you down to be humble at all times and know that... And you need people, man. I mean, you will always... You can't be an island and exist by yourself. The
That's
very people that you minister to, you need them as well to appreciate what you're doing. But for that to happen, they need to feel free around you and not feel funny that you, you know? So love people, man. Love people that you serve.
I want to ask you a question, because earlier on you were saying that in the past few months, it's like your life has totally changed.
Yeah.
How has that been for you? Well, I mean, for your family, for instance.
Yeah. I think in a way, I have thought it would happen. I had faith for it. I believed it would happen. And we worked quite a bit throughout last year preparing for the recording and the album, send it to the States just to make sure that it comes out proper. But the change blew us away as well, because it happened. I mean, I've got friends that say, this is so quick. I mean, in over just 2 months that we started the
music.
But
the thing is, you know, it's like raising a child. And you have a...
Yeah, I've got three boys.
You got three boys?
Three boys.
Wow. How old are they?
One is 8, one is 3, and the other one is 2 months.
Wow. So. I know Rory doesn't have any kids.
No.
And things have changed since the last time we spoke.
The same topic, we're there. We're right there.
Make sure you go and get that topic.
What was it called? What was it about?
It was just about, you know, sex and Christianity and about, you know, where we stand and where we should stand, you know, and obviously just trying to be understanding of everybody's standings.
Okay,
that's about as much as I can probably say.
I'll check you it know? Out.
Love and Grace. Yeah. That's the album that I'm most familiar with.
Yeah.
But you had an album before.
Yeah, I had an album before. It's called Heart of a King.
Heart of a King.
Yeah. So
how was that experience?
It was okay. We went to studio. We did that over 3 months. With a friend of mine, with my MD. And I just met him at that time, actually, when we did that album. Somebody introduced me to him and said, this guy is amazing. And I thought, okay. And I tried a couple of people and I felt very particular. So I thought, no, this is not working. But when he came, I just knew I can work with him because he gets what I wanna do. So it was harder than this, actually.
Oh, wow.
I did a lot of changing people along the way. Like, I don't know how many people, musicians, vocalists, because
I
suppose my ear listens a certain way, but I loved it. We did it. We never put it out. I had a couple of copies that we sold just around to people, literally sold from the booth.
So this is, I mean, like, so Love and Grace is sort of, you kind of call this your debut album. Yeah, I know a few artists as well. Yeah. Who had albums before?
I actually like the first album.
I know people love it.
I just feel like you're paying it down.
No, I'm not. It's a good album. I actually think
it's a really good album.
Personally, I feel it's even more musical than Love and Grace. Love and Grace is very simplified, and I think people appreciate the simplicity.
Yeah,
that they can connect to the music quite quick. But we're gonna put it out. We're gonna put it in stores as well. We're gonna get it out there.
I think you should.
We did a song at the launch that is gonna be part of. We did it intentionally for that. It's gonna be part of the Jesus song, the one that we did in the beginning.
Yeah.
We'll put it in that.
So now tell me. So because I couldn't quite understand, right? So Rory, you were the MC.
Yeah.
At
my album launch.
It was the album launch. This album is only being launched now.
Yeah, it was in stores two weeks now. A week.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You know, when I see you, I thought that, man, this guy's been around for like 6 months or so.
No. That's why I'm saying it was so quick.
It's literally selling out
in stores every day. Like,
are you telling me that I'm going to have to shift my release date to further?
It's going like crazy. Like,
it is going like crazy. I had people go, MC, you said that we go buy. I was like, what? They said the CDs are finished. Like,
listen,
on the
day. Can I tell you something? This is anointed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
And you just know it. You know what I mean? When I watch it, everything is just working so. And maybe when you've listened to, you know, to the album before, you'd be like, there's a problem with the mix there and there. Could have fixed that better. Yeah. But man, when the anointing comes upon it, it's like it just smoothes everything out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's anointed. I found myself standing and I was tired yesterday. I was literally sitting down listening and I'm like, this Dr. Doom, I'm going to have him on my show tomorrow. And then I was just standing. I'm like, yo, what happened? You know what I mean?
No. I'm just glad the effect it's having on people.
Yeah. Like, and that's awesome.
I mean, the messages we get are people being healed, which is really amazing. People, going back to the Lord. Like, you know, people will tell you, I backslid. It's been 12 years and I had that song once and I just knew I had to go back to the Lord. So it's serving its purpose, like for me. It's touching people. It's changing people's lives and it's simple.
No, that's awesome, bro.
You know what I think is refreshing, which actually applies to the both of you guys, is the ideas of, or the idea rather of putting out new songs.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
I think what has happened is people are so okay with just doing the chorus and, you know, recycling. Yeah. And it's fine. I mean, if you take a song here and there and you put your flavor on it. But just what has God laid on your heart? Like, what has been your journey? And I think that's maybe one of the reasons why people are gravitating towards, this new sound or new music that I have to learn this from scratch.
Yeah.
You know, I don't go...
I mean, it's something that sort of just come to, you know, it just come to mind now because one could listen to Dr. Doom and then think, okay, cool. Now I've got to try and do something different or try and do exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
I think also what's important is that you just do you.
Be true to you, man.
Yeah. I just remember that, you know, and
you
every single time.
You can't beat Loiso being Loiso. That's just the truth.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
So don't try to be him.
Exactly. Yeah. And now I mustn't go back to the student and be like, yo, I need to change my sound to make it sound like Tumi because that is the
that's
now
sound. That's what's
hot, The Bible says that, you know, like, the Bible says that, and Jesus said this, that, you know, the harvest is many, but the laborers are few.
That's true.
So in other words, if you want to go into ministry, there will always be a space for you.
Yeah, that's
you know, if there's a calling upon your life to do it, there will always be a space for you.
Yeah.
And there will be a certain, you know, there will be a harvest
that,
you know, like that God wants you to sort of go to as a
we
as
all
a laborer,
for different
you know,
people,
and and so I believe that the kind of people that you're appealing to now, you know, are probably different to the kind of guys that I'm doing, and definitely different what Musart is doing.
They've got a cool sound, man. I love.
They've got a cool sound.
I wanna work with you guys.
Let me ask. I told you, kids. Afterwards,
I wanna work with you too. By the way, so we must do something.
We must.
Must absolutely drop something.
Guys, can I do backing vocals on this song? Because I can see it's gonna happen. And my bosses are here.
Is it okay? Cool. I think we'll definitely do it. I'm gonna give it to 2-3. So I'm gonna call my people.
Yeah.
And then and then off we go. So now, I mean, you were on jam sessions.
Yeah.
The episode hasn't aired yet because all I saw was just a promo for it.
No, it did.
Last Thursday.
Which is actually quite funny because it was like Thursday and then Sunday. So he was like, "Oh, okay, so you guys did it on purpose." I was like, "I promise you, we didn't even know it's gonna fall like."
Serious,
that.
Because the launch was on
Sunday.
The launch was on Sunday.
It was on Sunday.
And apparently, it was packed up in there, man.
Yeah, we had a sold out show. It was amazing.
At the Lyric.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Amazing. No flyers, no posters on the streets. Nothing. Just social
That's
media.
That's why I was like, I was so shocked how many people actually know the lyrics and are singing along and are like, and I was like, yo. Like, I thought Dr. Three was like a,
you know, a lot of people got the album on iTunes because we dropped it on iTunes first. So for some weeks, it was number one on iTunes for quite a while.
And it's still there actually in the top 10.
So a lot of people got it. A lot of people knows the music. Mm-hmm. So it's just amazing to have people like that in the, you know, events and you just sing along and it was just a nice experience.
Yeah, man. It was awesome. So how was your experience on jam sessions?
She's chilled, so I had a very nice time.
What
very
did she
chilled.
Say?
Yeah. No, it's a very warm set.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're very relaxed and just talk about this and that.
Yeah.
And then sing, do a couple of songs. But it's a nice set. I mean, we just did a piano vibe.
And that was awesome, and that's what I saw as well. Just that clip.
And
Who's coming up? Who's coming up tonight? Rory?
Tonight is Mahahalia.
Beautiful
song.
You are the one. I also saw that last night as well. Just the music. I can't remember the words because I was busy. I was busy praying while the song was going. You know when you just can't anymore, then you just break out in a language that you don't know.
I'm so excited for her. I also feel, yo man, there's just like this. I don't know, I'm going to sound like a pastor. There's this wave.
Absolutely.
That's taking place within the gospel music industry where, like, people are, I don't
not
know.
Not afraid.
There's a change. It's like there's a
let
shift.
Let me tell you something. It was back in was it 2011 when Kaya was on Idols?
Yeah.
Kaya and I kind of got close around that time. And so when my first album came out, I sent him a copy. No. He actually bought it on iTunes. Mm. And we started talking. And what I said to him back then, and this before like even did a gospel album, I said, yeah. I promise you right now, it's just a matter of time before contemporary gospel becomes the number one gospel genre in South Africa.
I think it
already is. For the fact that you can fill up the lyric. People have to run. You know, to go get a CD where there's like one or just two left.
Yeah.
Like they're still buying CDs. You know, that's amazing. Yeah. And I really just think that God, there's a revival.
Yeah.
There's a
revival
that
God is doing.
Like you can
and I
want to
say through us.
Yeah, for sure. That's true.
There's a revival that God is doing through us. You know, real people. I mean, like, here we go. We've got the open book right now. And we're just chatting like normal people, I hope.
Yeah.
You know? And God is really just doing a new thing, man.
It's really, really exciting to see. Like, before you'd have to think about who are contemporary artists. Now I can, like, the list just goes on.
It just goes on and on.
There's, like, Luisa, there's, like, Dr. Jimmy, there's Mahalia, there's Kaya, there's a list.
There's Ndogozo and Kubek, you know, like, the first
who
ones,
are doing
you know?
It. Yeah.
And we have our own sound. I mean, like, how awesome is that? It's like we really just have our own sound.
Yeah.
Which is,
authenticity
which is so
is
cool,
good,
man.
Like,
which is beautiful to cross over. Like, you had Janine Price come on.
I've actually got Janine on my album as well.
Is it?
I'm actually leading worship with her this Sunday. Make sure that you come to Rhema. I'm leading worship with Janine Price, the two of you.
She's amazing.
I love
first
her.
Two services.
She
she's my,
like,
one of my best friends. And she's
I did a song
shows.
With her as well on her album.
Yeah,
so
grateful.
Yeah, so
oh wow,
on her album as well.
Oh, on her album.
And she keeps saying, because I was in studio with her, and she was like, dude, she loves saying dude.
Yeah.
Dude, have you heard Dr. Doomy? Oh my gosh.
That sounds like her.
She's there at the launch as well. She's amazing.
But
what I love what's happening is there's a crossover. Like when I was at the launch, I was like, there's some of your songs that could live in like a Hillsong platform.
Yeah.
You know, and that's good. Like, I think we need to get over the whole, I make for this type of church.
Yeah.
This type.
Yeah,
it's
dude,
just
let's
like,
just go and sing.
No, the gospel is the gospel.
You know what? Over Easter, I was actually ministering at Hillsong. I did the Sunday services.
Yeah.
So like, I did the two services there. And then, you know, like after a while, you'll find me elsewhere because this is who we are right now. And God wants to speak to us.
Can
we speak about, the Century City one, you know?
Yeah. Cool.
And this is who we are right now. I think our generation, as much as we have cultures, as much as we have traditions, which I believe that we should respect, but I really feel that there is more for oneness now, you know, like than there ever has been before. And we need to bring that to the glory of God because I believe that every good and perfect thing, absolutely, you know, sort of comes from God.
Like,
now, where were we?
No, it's amazing.
Where were we in these? Because I got some questions. Bro, you know what? I was trying to say this earlier on because we've literally got like a few minutes left, right?
Yeah.
Because remember I asked you about your kids and then Rory came in and then I just forgot what I was saying, right? A lot of people will look at your career and your friends as well. They'll be like, wow, that happened so quickly. What I was trying to say is the fact that it's like when you have a child and man, you're changing those nappies every single day.
Yeah.
You're feeding that child. That child falls sick at night. And by the time that kid is 2 years old, you're pretty tired, you know? But someone who saw that kid when that kid was a week old and they see that kid when they're two, they're like, wow,
they've
grown up so fast.
Very good point.
So in other words, you know the struggles. And the thing that you have, you know, like that you have been through to us, like, this guy just left the practice.
He just popped up.
He just took a mic there and then suddenly
boom.
He calls himself Dr. Doomy.
Yeah.
You know, boom.
Like
sold out literally.
Come on.
Even Kat Rorisang Tandegiso there's you know, as the MC. You know what I mean? But you know what you've been through. I mean, like what did you say to other artists? I'm not talking about just aspiring artists.
Yeah.
You know, what message would you have for them to really just hold on? And to wait on God and just to keep on going.
I think generally people expect that, okay, I've got a good sound, it's going to go out there and everybody's just going to start buying it. And sometimes it doesn't happen like that. Sometimes, you know, there's a process that you need to go through. And
your first one could be a flop.
Your first one could be a flop, you know?
Yeah.
And not that it's not good, but maybe people are not ready for what you have.
Yeah.
Or you don't have the right connections for it. But I also believe in God's timing. Like when the time
Amen.
Is set for you, everything just goes without you struggling and you just avail yourself and literally God does everything that's around that needs to be sorted out. We literally did not struggle with this album. We had everybody running. We had distribution companies coming requiring, can we just reboot the album for you?
Wow.
And that's even before, I mean, we just dropped one song on YouTube and it was doing well and people started calling from everywhere. And right now the reach is all over Africa. We've got people buying the music in Nigeria, Zambia. We had people fly in from Zambia actually to come to the launch.
I saw a lady from Botswana.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Stores in Botswana, Swaziland getting sold out every day, literally. So it's, to somebody, it's like it looks quick. And it's not been quick.
But there has been a journey.
It's been a process. It's been a
journey. And there's been a personal journey. So, you know?
But I just think one of the things I've learned is to just lean on the grace of God, you know? Mm-hmm. And let God take control. When you try to do it, I'm literally just relaxing and going with the journey and being led. And I realized I struggled more with my previous album, trying to knock at every door. Can you put it on the shelf? And people would listen to it. It's good. I don't think people will buy it. And you know, and it was a different story this time around.
Yeah.
I decided I'm just going to do what I'm called to do, and I'm going to let God take care of the rest.
Yeah. Amen.
And that as well has set up a place for the previous album to go out to stores as well. So.
And you know, Brian, the thing is, if you know, like when we, the Bible says that, you know, like when we wait on the Lord, He'll renew our strength.
Yeah.
You know, those who trust in God shall. And the thing is, so in other words, you need to know that, like, you know, don't be scared of starting the waiting process because you will have strength for it. God has already provided the strength for that.
Yeah.
And you know, man, I really just wish that, well, my prayer, we can't say words like wish because that's unchristian.
Wish.
You know, my prayer is that God will really just expand your territory,
that your
music will be heard all over the world, and that the effect that it has on us South Africans, that it's going to really just have on everyone, man, because it's just, so, you know what, it actually, in a way, it challenges us
to be
better people. Yeah. It challenges us, you know, like to be the person that you are, because I know that the person that you are is a reflection of the music that you make.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
And that's good, man. When you can look at someone and you can be challenged to become a better person, not a better singer, but a better person.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. So once again, you know, I believe that your music just speaks to a whole lot of us, man.
No, man, I'm glad that it's able to change people's lives. I think that's important from whatever walk of life it is.
Absolutely.
It doesn't need to be. I have a lot of musicians that come and say, you know what, I was afraid to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
But this has inspired me to just be myself and not try to comply with the rules that
absolutely
have been preset.
And that's something, you know, like, and that's something a few established artists said to me when I first started, because I was scared, you know.
Yeah.
I was scared. Yeah. I was like, yeah, but you know, there's that sound that is being now. But the thing is, once again, just do you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to imagine you doing exclusively traditional music. I think I struggle.
I can do it, but you know, I can get down. I've even got the vibe.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying people appreciate who you are now.
Thank you,
like,
man.
And what you sending out is, I think it's a true reflection of you, and people can read into that. Like, once, and there's growing and learning other things, but don't step out of who you are at any cost. Just stay there, and there's a group that's called for you. It might not be everybody.
But
millions are waiting to hear that. And if you move away from it, you really are messing up.
You're stealing.
Absolutely.
999,000 people that would have loved to hear you.
And other people that you'd, I mean, like, you'd really be robbing people of a space in heaven.
Stealing.
Would have been led by you.
No, man.
Rory?
Yes, sir.
One last word from you before we see you again tonight on Jam Sessions.
Before you see me, it's going to be a dope show. Make sure you watch. But more than anything, our aim at One Gospel, our aim at Jam Sessions is for people to really connect with the people that God is using to give a message, you know, and to connect with the message. I think, you know, we can spend all day talking about songs and how dope in the arrangement. Did you hear that progression? I worked with this person and that person. And at the end of the day, the core thing is the message. And obviously having a good time. And I think that's what Jam Session is about. So if you're watching tonight, that's what you can expect in every other episode.
Oh, man.
After
and Mahalia is on.
Yes.
And Mahalia is on. I've got our time has run out. So thank you so much to the both of you.
Are you coming to the show too?
Rory and Dumi.
No?
I, Yes. I want to.
Yes.
I want. You know what?
Yes.
Actually,
no.
I want to build a house close to there, just so that you guys can see me every single day in case you need something.
Yeah.
You
but it's gonna be so cool.
You must tell me.
I'm gonna do that.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
And I'll still be there. I loved. You know, like.
But
I
want you to come
so
in
far.
A 3-piece suit. Just for excitement.
Well, yeah, if you get me in 20 years time, I might probably be in a 3-piece suit when I'm 60. So give me soon, please.
Okay,
give
okay.
me soon. So that's this Friday, jam sessions every Thursday at 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. on One Gospel DSTV channel 331.
The one and
only. Yeah. I've got something else on that's on tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's Friday, so at least it's not going to compete with you guys.
Okay.
At 6:30, I've got a new show starting on TBN in Africa.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Okay, what do you do?
TBN in Africa, that's channel 341.
Yeah.
So when you're on 343. So when you're on 333, right?
Yeah.
You must just skip
two
stations,
uh-huh.
and then the third one. Yeah, 343, TBN yeah. in Africa. The show is called TBN Meets. And you had Micah Stampley on your first one.
Yes.
And my first guest is going to be Don Moen. That's
wow.
tomorrow.
As I walk out.
You know
what I mean? Wow.
So
make
sure. So jam sessions tonight, Thursday,
oh,
at 7
man.
p.m. And then TBN in Africa. Tomorrow, and the show is called TBN Meet, 6:30 p.m.
Awesome.
This is, you know, looking at both shows, this is Christian television at its best.
Yeah.
But thank you guys so much for coming in, man.
Thank you.
Can't wait to have you back already. It's like I miss you already. You know, we love you, and thank you so much for tuning into the Open Book. We'll see you next week. God bless.
This is CliffCentral.com.